So once again, thank you for coming this morning, and thank you for participating and worshiping with us this morning. So last week, we were in a series, Care and Compassion, and as I heard Drew's message last week, you know, I was thinking about, like, you know, care and compassion, great, great virtues that God wants us to have in our lives, because it was something present in the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He cared for people, and he was compassionate towards people. And so that made me think about, like, the virtues that God desires us to have that can make us, can bless us personally, but can make us be like a great blessing to the people around us, the people that we get in contact to. So I would like for you to think with me about, you know, virtue this morning. And if we could give a definition of virtue, that right inner disposition that relates to who we are as a person and to our character. That right inner disposition that relates to who we are as a person and to our character. And why, you know, virtue? Why thinking about, why seeing the presence of those character traits in our lives? Virtue promotes the enhancement of the human person beyond what has been imposed upon us by society standards, dominant ideologies, in our own past wounds, and, you know, what we have suffered. Virtue teaches us that we must think and act and speak based on moral principles, and in this case, the moral that we learn from God's word, and not based on how society and the media tell us to think and do so. But also, you know, virtue enable us to pursue the ideals that we have adopt. Honesty, courage, compassion, generosity, fidelity, integrity, fairness, self-control, prudence, all example of, like, virtues that we as followers of Jesus Christ, we want to see in our lives, and also, like, develop those things in our lives. We know that those virtues, that they are developed through learning and through, you know, practicing them. They are also important because they are the basic qualities necessary for our well-being and happiness, as well as we link those things together. By recognizing the importance of virtues in our lives, will lead to better communication, you know, understanding, acceptance of each other, and especially, you know, the people that are so close to us. And I love the many virtues when we open the Bible, the many character traits that were present in the life of our Savior that we see and we study about. And I love in particular this list that we see in 2 Peter. So if you can open your Bible or your phone, 2 Peter chapter 1. And these verses here, they are so, so good. They are so, so good. You're going to read it and you're going to see it. Wow, these are good. This is very good. This is very good. Starting in verse 3, it says this. His divine power. Do you believe that God has that divine power? His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him, Jesus, who called us, all of us here, by His own glory and by His own goodness. Verse 4. Through these, He has given us the very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Think about that. Through His precious promise and the virtues that we learn, you know, we can participate in the very nature of God, the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And we know that very well, right? We have unfortunately been, you know, caught with that. Verse 5, for this reason, make every effort. And here we have a list of virtues that are like beautiful. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, moral excellence, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, patience, endurance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. And then, interesting, verse 8 says, for if you possess these qualities, these virtues in you, and they are increasing in measurement, right? They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. You know, these virtues that we are being invited, and actually it has been given by the power of divine to each one of us, you know, so that we can experience the nature of God and live out a life that is like godly, right? But that helps us to not be ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9 says it as it is. But whosoever does not have them is nearsight, is blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. And we read verse 9 and we go like, God forbid, right? God forbid that you know, we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to develop us in these virtues that enhance our lives and enhance our usage for His glory and for the benefit of ourselves and the people around us. But today, you know, these are many virtues that we could spend like each Sunday talking about each one of them. But today, I would love to talk about one that it's my favorite from the list. And it's one as well that as I was thinking about like the virtue of like care and compassion, I thought like if I can have and develop this virtue called godliness in my life, and the title here, you know, I stole it from long, long time ago. Remember Michael Jordan and Gatorade, and you had Michael Jordan, you know, doing a commercial with Gatorade and he said, is it in you, right? The Gatorade, is it in you? So I remember that. And so godliness, you know, the question for us to think about today, is it in us? Is it in you? Is it in me and you, this virtue that can really bless us in the plan that God has for our lives? This virtue that, as we will see today, it can make you, a better husband, a better employer, a better student, you know, a better human being. And the reason why I want to talk about this virtue, this one today, it's because if you look with me in Psalms 12, it's a shocking, you know, verse opening the Psalms, where it says this, help, O Lord, this is the Psalms of David, help, O Lord, for the godly are fast disappearing, and the faithful have vanished from the earth. Psalms 12:1. The context, you know, if you go study the behind the scenes of this Psalms, the context here, it's probably, you know, David, when he was having a problem with his son, Absalom, that was leading a rebellion against him, David. And you can read that at home in 2 Samuel 15 and 16. And the many people that supported David, they all forsook him. They all became like his enemy, right? And David probably, you know, in the middle of that, he wrote this psalm where he says something that was well said for the time that he was in, but well said for the time that we are in. Help me, O God, for the godly is fast disappearing. The faithful have vanished from the earth. And I don't know about you, we don't have to think much to look around and to know that this is a reality. That the virtue of godliness in people's life, including Christian, you know, it has diminished. It has been, you know, mixed with like values and things that are not, you know, from God to us. And the faithful together here, it's fast. It's vanished. It's vanishing. And this is a reality. This is a reality. And the interesting thing is that even though we don't find a lot of the word godly or godliness in the Bible, the whole Bible, the whole Word of God, it's a book of godliness, isn't it? It's a book where, you know, we see the character and the care of God all over the place and His nature and how He thinks and how He acts and how He expects us as His children to think and act as well. It's interesting because when Paul was talking to Timothy, his disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ, in 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, Paul, he told Timothy this. He says, Timothy, do not waste your time arguing over godless idea and a saying of old. I don't know if this was part of your saying of old, but maybe it's old. A godless idea and old wife tells. Wives, are these still a thing? Let me know. Or is this of the old? Old wife tells. I need to do like a word study on that one. Silly stories dressed up as religion instead, and here it's precious, instead train yourself to be godly. Did you know that that was in the Bible? Train yourself to be godly. Why doing that? Because that is disappearing. The faithful is vanishing. It is. Maybe the problems that we have in this world of ours, you know, it's linked to, you know, a lack of godliness in our lives. And Paul said, you know, train yourself, Timothy, to be godly. He said, physical training is good. How many here loves physical training? I do. I'm trying. You know, but training for godliness is much better. Wow. You know, physical training, we all need, and it's important in our lives. But, you know, if I have the physical training, but I'm not being trained in godliness, I'm missing something very important in my diet, in my spiritual diet. Because God wants me to train, to exercise in being God-like, in godliness. And there is promising, there is benefits of doing that in life and in the life to come. And I don't know why, when I was thinking, you know, about the life to come, I couldn't help. And you would think this is silly, but I couldn't help but think about the movie, one of my favorites, probably the top of the list. You're going to laugh. You know, it's Gladiator. I'm so sorry. You know, my wife, she thinks like, I cannot even watch that. I'm like, honey, it's only like the 251 time that me and Matthew is watching that movie. Come join us for that, you know? But it seemed to be in the movie that he did have a real strong sense of the life to come. And I'm telling you, I have a strong sense. I think we all do, of the life to come. That life, it's not just this parenthesis, this like blink, this vapor that we are living here. You know, there is so much to life after life. And I know that it is like a crazy thought because we live in this temporal, you know, what? 70, 80, if you are 90, you know, great. But do you know what? Training in godliness, there is great benefit, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And we need to think about that. We need to think about that. I cannot live my life not thinking about the life to come. You know, in the movie, I know that, you know, he was thinking about his family and being reunited with his family. And we have loved ones. We have family that will reunite, and we will reunite face to face also with our Savior. But I love this verse here. I love another version that says this. The New American Standard, it says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And I know when it comes to discipline, you know, sometimes it's like, I know I need, but, you know, but, you know, here is, in spiritually speaking, God is asking us to do the same thing. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. When you think about your diet, don't think about just like the physical one, but think about the spiritual one. Think about the having discipline for developing godliness. And why godliness? Because godliness, it's being God-like. Why godliness? Because godliness, it's being Christ-like. Why godliness? Because godliness, it's that personal attitude towards God that result in actions that are pleasing to Him in our lives. And I love an example of that in Genesis. Right from the beginning, there is this character here that we don't know much about him, but his name was Enoch. And it says right there in Genesis 5:24 that Enoch, he walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away for himself. And it's amazing because when you go to Hebrews, you know, you hear more about Enoch, that he pleased God and that he was a godly person. And the picture that I have in my mind was that this Enoch, he was so good and so godly that I believe Jesus wanted to hang with him like side by side and face to face. And he took him to himself. Think about that. That is cool right there, right? I mean, he was so like in his walk with God, in the development of godliness, that the Bible says that God took him. And I know that one day, you know, it's going to happen to each one of us who believe him. There will be a take by God to be with him. We know that, you know, in death or in life. And you know what I'm talking about. So Enoch was this person that had this personal attitude towards God that resulted in actions that pleased God, that blessed the Lord. I mean, think about you and me. We are blessed by God. But I love to think about the fact that me, little you, right? We can bless the Lord. Like the psalmist says, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul. Think about, you can walk out of here today, you know, with the belief in your heart and mind that you can be a blessing to your Creator and to your Savior by being what? God-like. But you can be a blessing to, you know, your husband, to your wife, to your children, to your mom and dad by being what? God-like. And it's something that we want to be. 1 Timothy 4:7. We want to exercise, we want to train, we want to discipline ourselves. We want to have this personal attitude towards God that result in actions that will please, that will bless Him. See, it's godliness is this action, right? It's devotion in action. It's not just like a warm emotional feeling about God, but it is an attitude that involves trusting Him, involves like loving Him, desiring Him, involves like serving Him in our lives. Again, when Paul, he was talking to in Titus, if you open in Titus 2 with me, when he was talking about the essence of the Christian life, he said this, you know, the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. And there is such a thing as ungodliness, not godlike, in worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the reason why godliness is vanishing, is fast disappearing, it's because ungodliness, it's growing. It's fast showing up. It's showing up in ways that 5 years ago you were like, I never heard about that. What is that? Right? What is going on? How can someone think like that? How can someone do such an evil thing? Well, they are being exercised in ungodliness. They are training themselves. It's so like awkward to say, but it's like people are training themselves in evil behavior. And we see that every day. We see that, you know, you turn the news or you walk outside of your house and you see that. And even us, you know, we can admit that it's so easy to embrace and to be distracted with godless idea, with godless things and godless practice instead of godly, godlike. But God is calling us through His Word. God is giving us a purpose. God wants us to be renewed, you know, in our by faith endeavor to exercise ourselves spiritually and to develop in our lives godliness. Think about this. There is no higher compliment that we can give to a Christian, especially, you know, when you go to a funeral, than to say, you know, there is many things that I could talk about that person, but if I could summarize in one thing, that person was so godly. That's beautiful, isn't it? That is beautiful. You know, if someone else, not ourselves, could write in our, what it's called, the stone that they put when we die? Tombstone. There is another name that I never, someone said. Yes, yes. You know, like Ray Souza, like, you know, David, like, you know, Cravens, you know, Rachel, they were godly people. They were not perfect. They messed up. They did some wrong. But do you know what? For the best that I can say, they were trying hard to follow after the Lord. They were practicing godliness in their lives. So that's why today, folks, you know, the prayer that I believe Dave was praying here in Psalms 12:1, he was like, God, please help me. Help me. And I was moved to, you know, putting myself in his shoes. I mean, he could have become like a wild beast, right? He could have become like, oh, that's how it's going to be, Absalom? That's how it's going to be, my son? All right, bring it on. You will see the beast, the fury coming out of me. I'm going to just join the list of ungodly. But David was like, help me, oh Lord. Because it seems to me that the person that trusts you is fast disappearing. That follow hard after you, it's giving up. It's not even believing the things that they believed, used to believe anymore. Help me. The faithful are vanishing from the earth. No, no, Lord, please. And folks, I believe this morning for all of us, what a great goal to have. What a great prayer to pray. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me. When we watch the news and see something, we were talking this morning, you know, that we see the ungodliness. Oh, God, please help me to be even more godly. Help me, you know, through the glow, right, to show how is Christ like, how is God like. Help me. Help me. May we, like Paul, I love Titus 1:1. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of the God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to truth. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And here the truth will lead you. That's why our intake of God's word is so important. Because it leads, it develops the knowledge of truth leads to godliness in our lives. That's why, you know, we are always like bringing to our attention, like, you know, what have you been reading? What is God like speaking to you this week? You know, what is that one verse that you read that could you please share with us? And folks, you know, if you see us repeating this, you know, every week, and we are repeating that every week, all that we are doing, it's encouraging us to be in God's word. Because it is an encouragement to grow in godliness. But remember, the first verse that we read, verse 3. It is his divine power that has given us everything that we need to live a godly life. It's not something that you are on your own, okay? And I love this. It's not something that God, it's like, you know what I did for you, do the rest. No, God is in a mission to provide for us a non-stopping end of supply and source for me and you by his power so that we can live a godly life. And God, friends, he's so pleased with that. I love Psalms 4:3. It says, know that the God, he has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when they call. Psalms 4:3. He sets apart the godly for himself. Just like he did with Enoch, in such a way that he was like, hey, I want to hang with you today. And I want you to participate with me in what I'm doing. Whatever. I'm just thinking aloud here. I love 2 Peter 2:9. It says that the Lord, he knows how to rescue the godly from trials. You were talking about the temptation. He knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteousness. God is the right judge. You know, to hold the unrighteous, the ungodly, for the punishment of the day of judgment. You can't mock God. He sees everything. He knows everything. He is not like with his eyes closed in heaven going like, oh my gosh, this thing has been out of control. But he is, you know, still in a mission. There, you know, we live in time and it's a very short time. God lives in eternity. One day we'll be surprised how, you know, the way that we thought about time and the way that God thinks about time. And I would be lying to you, okay, if I stopped this message right here. And if I didn't tell you that the more that you develop and grow in godliness, the more that this, it's going to happen. 2 Timothy 3:12. Unfortunately, you know, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, they are made fun of. You know, they are like, really? Are you of that old mindset? Are you really? Really? Are you kidding me? Do you still think and act like that? Really? Come on, man. Come on. Stop it, right? It does happen. But, you know, Jesus, he told us in John 15:20, he says, you know, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. It's a reality. You might be look a little strange, but you know what? At the end of the game, you know, when we appear face to face with him, you know, to be able to hear the words, well done, my faithful servant, but also to be able, while we are living here, to be able to, you know, by the exercise and the discipline of godliness, you know, just being like better human beings on this earth. The reason why I pick godliness, it's because I think through godliness, you know, we give ourselves an opportunity to develop and experience and practice all the other virtues that we just read from 2 Peter and all the other, there is many other virtues that we see in the Bible. But as we exercise ourselves in godliness, we will be exercised in all these things that makes us, you know, a blessing to the Lord and a blessing to each other and a blessing to this world and a cup of water, cold water, in the name of Jesus Christ, a smile and a hug, you know, a forgiveness when there was no reason to forgive, an embrace when there was no reason to embrace, a word of encouragement when, you know, there was no expectancy of word of encouragement, but it came because, you know, God is faithful, and through his divine power, he has given us the right to live a godly life. Godliness with contentment, it is great gain. And I love this verse in 1 Peter 1:16. It says, be holy because I am holy. And we don't find this other verse here in the Bible, but it's right there. It's right there. It goes like this. Be godly because I am God. Be godly. Be godlike. Be Christlike. And folks, again, I just want to say that this is something that he has given us the capacity for, the power for. Our part, it's to embrace. Our part, it's to believe. Our part, it's to develop this virtue in our lives and to be used, you know, as a light in this world, as a blessing, you know, to many in this world. So our prayer today is that God, help us, oh God, help us to be godly. Help us to be faithful. Don't let that diminish or vanish from my own life, because I'm going to be burdened. I'm going to be tempted to just swim with the flow. But God is really calling us to swim against the stream and be a blessing to those coming down in the stream. Amen. I'm looking the faces in this room here, and I'm blessed with the many, you know, godly people that God has placed in this room here by His grace, by His mercy. And let's just go forward, right? You may not like discipline and exercise. I don't too, but so what? It's a need, right? It's a need. If the doctor says, hey, your heart is failing, you go like, where is those shorts and tennis shoes? You are like walking on the park. You're visiting all the parks, right? And here we are, you know, Dr. Jesus is telling us, put your shoes, buy that favorite like jogging pants, and let's do godliness. Amen? Let's train and keep on training in what it is to be godlike. And may the Lord bless us, and may we in turn bless the Lord with all our might, soul, and strength. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you for your word that it's always, Lord, live, and it's always encouraging, but it's always challenging as well, Father. And Father, as we think about the virtues that you call us to, we thank you, Lord, because that is for our own sake. That is for the sake of this beautiful world that you create with so many beautiful people. That is for us to live life and enjoy in a way that has no like regrets attached to it. Thank you, Father. And here, Lord, on this Sunday, our prayer is, help us. Help us, O Lord, to be each day more like you and to walk with you and to bless you, Lord, with our hearts, so am I, and to be a blessing to each other with our hearts, so am I. In Jesus' name, it's our prayer this morning. Amen, amen, and amen.